You'll open your Bibles this morning to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. Chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 8 and 9 with a little stopover in verses 5 and 6. Judges 14, 8 and 9. Thus saith the Lord. And Samson turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. Before we look at our text this morning, let's take a moment and ask God to enlighten our hearts. Father, as we come to the preaching of your word, we pray, Father, that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, make us a people of application. Help us to apply this message to our hearts that we might take it from this place and we might use it for ourselves and to encourage others, and we'd ask it in Christ's name and for your glory. I don't suppose there's many of you out there that look at yourself as lion killers. I never looked at myself as a lion killer, especially when I recognized the size of a lion. Most formidable animal, king of the beasts. Our text this morning talks about one who had to face one. And I've heard people say, well, that's just a simile for something else. No, I'm here to tell you that Samson's sandaled feet walked through that vineyard at Timnath. And there was a lion. And make no mistake about it, he was a very strong, mature lion. It was no cub that attacked Samson. But most people, when they come to the account of this mighty man, they tend to focus on his superhuman strength or his weaknesses or even his riddle. But God didn't put Samson in the Bible just to show us what kind of a man he was. He had another intention. God tells us about Samson because Samson is a type of Christ. Let me tell you what a type is. A type is a shadow that's cast in the pages of the Old Testament, and then it's fulfilled in the New Testament. It describes a truth. It can be about an event, a person, a thing, but the key to it is that it must be historical and it must be Christocentric. It must be connected to Christ. For example, Joseph was a type of Christ because he was hated without a cause. We read in Genesis 37:4 that he was hated. And then that was fulfilled in Christ in John 15:25. But this cometh to pass, the Lord says, that the word might be fulfilled that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And in Genesis 37:28, we see that Joseph was sold for silver. That was also fulfilled in Christ in Matthew 26:14-16. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went into the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought the opportunity to betray him. And in our text this morning, we see a type of Jesus in Samson. When the lion in the vineyards of Timnath roared against the mighty Samson, he slew him The Bible says he did it with his bare hands. Likewise, when the lion from hell roared upon Jesus of Nazareth in the wilderness, our Lord destroyed him with only the words from his mouth. Jesus took hold of that devil, held him by the throat, and said, "It is finished." With only those three words, the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour was torn as one would tear a young goat. And now, this very moment, our beloved Jesus Christ, the conqueror of hell and death, stands in the midst of his church as his hands dripping with the honey from that lion. And like Samson, who shared it with his mother and his father, our Redeemer offers it to all of those of whom he says, "These are my brother and sister and mother." To each individual believer, he gives big chunks of that honeycomb, and he gives it to them because it came from the victory he had over the roaring lion. And he invites his disciples, each and every one of them, to come and eat so that their lives will be sweetened and their hearts will be filled with his joy. We also see in Samson a symbol of the conflict every believing Christian will have in this world. You see, when young Samson was walking through those vineyards, he was but a young man. He wasn't looking for a fight. He was looking for a bride. He had love on his mind. But God was going to use him to deliver his people from the Philistines. So he started training Samson very early in his life. We see that training unfolding in verse 5 of our text, above our text. "Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him." And then look at verse 6. Here we see how God equipped him for the battle. "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand." Beloved, God had a plan for Samson's life, and he has a plan for your life as well. And much of that plan has to do with you wrestling the lions in this world. The Bible makes it very clear. Every life that is indwelt with the Spirit of God will have conflict. The Apostle Paul put it to Timothy this way: "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy 2:3. And he advises the church in Ephesians 6:11 to prepare for that battle by putting on the spiritual armor. He writes, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Every single person who claims Christ crucified is a Christian soldier, regardless of age or regardless of gender. It doesn't matter if you're 18 or if you're 88. It doesn't matter if you're a male or you're a female. There are lions trying to devour you. And as a Christian, you will fight them. You see, to become a believer is to become a Christian soldier. And the reason for that is because the roads that the Christian soldier walks are very steep. The valleys are dark. And there are many different types of giants blocking our way. and lurking behind every bend in the road are robbers seeking to steal our glory. Anyone who thinks that they can just glide into heaven, just walk through those golden gates, they're sadly mistaken. You see, without a struggle, you won't get into those gates. The only people who enter heaven's gates, brothers and sisters, are veterans. No one else. You understand that soldiers are made by war. You can't train veterans or create victories without having a battle. And just as God began training Samson to fight in the vineyards at Timnath, He's training up His people today to be Christian soldiers. And make no mistake about it, each one of us will fight God's enemies on three battlefields: the physical world, the spiritual world, and our own inner world, our carnality. And you will wrestle with sin. You will wrestle with illness. You will wrestle with persecution. You will wrestle with spiritual depression. You will wrestle with principalities and powers. You will wrestle with your own flesh. And ultimately, you will even battle with death. These are the enemies of the cross. These are the enemies that must be faced by believers every single day. Yes, indeed, we see in Samson and the roaring lion a symbol of the conflict that all of God's chosen people must face. We also see in this account that it really wasn't Samson who defeated the lion. He was just the vessel God used. Look at the beginning of verse 6. God says, "The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand." You see, the true strength of Samson wasn't in his muscles or his courage. Samson's superhuman strength came from the Spirit of the Lord. See, my dear brothers and sisters, within Samson and within you and you and you, there's a terrible lion, infinitely more powerful than any beast that walks this planet, spiritual or physical. You see, the Spirit of the Lord was none other than the Lion of Judah. And it was this mighty lion that allowed Samson to tear that savage beast apart with his bare hands. You see, not only will we have conflict, we also see that Samson is a symbol of the strength that all of God's people have today if they are indwelt with the Spirit of the Lord. The Lion of Judah is in every believer. And that being said, tell me, Christian, if the Spirit of the Lord is indwelling you, what roaring lion in your life can you not defeat? Your house is destroyed. It's not your house to begin with. You're going to give it up someday. Illnesses won't last forever. You have the comfort of God. Financial difficulties, to the Lion of Judah, they don't exist. In each and every born-again believer, there is the Lion of Judah. And that lion is the most powerful lion in the universe. And how many Christians walk around with that lion in a cage, never taking him out? How many Christians take this book and have it memorized and read it and can give you verse after verse, but yet, as soon as that wall comes down on their house, their joy is smashed with it. As soon as that affliction enters your body and you get the bad news, the lion is put back in its cage. Those are all the works of the Spirit, the powers of darkness in this world, trying to cage your lion. And if you look around at how many revivals we see going on in this world today, in this country, and you look around and see how many new believers there are, and you look around at the church pews, you see that the principalities and powers have really put a cage over the Lion of Judah that's in each of our hearts. The Bible says, though, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Jesus promises us in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Beloved, if all the devils arrayed in hell, or in hell arrayed against us, we need not fear any one of them. We need not fear any of them or all of them. You see, we are stronger than all the legions of angels that are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. That's the power of the lion living within each and every believer. There is no demon, no devil, no angel, and not even Satan himself who can stand against the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. And he's right here. I have a proof verse for that. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, it was the Spirit of the Lord that was the power that enabled Samson to tear that lion apart with his bare hand. And that's the same power that enables you, brothers and sisters, to kill the lions of life. To kill those lions that are in your life that are trying to eat you alive. All you have to do is believe. And the Spirit of the Lord will give you, just like Samson, superhuman strength to defeat any lion that roars against you. And if you need another proof verse, I'll do better. Go to chapter 11 of Hebrews. The entire chapter talks about people who dared to believe in the Lion of Judah. We also see in Samson that there are times when we are not killing lions or battling against other enemies. A time when we can enjoy the sweet honey that comes from the lions we have killed or from the lions that were killed for us. The first man-eating lion that was killed for every single believer is sin. That was the first lion. Our Lord Jesus Christ put that lion to death for us with a sharp two-edged sword that came out of his mouth. It is finished. Those words pierced the heart of that lion, and he's dead forever. And the pieces of that sweet honeycomb that came from that lion are found on every page of this book. Take a taste from Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. How sweet is that? That means we have full forgiveness. We have free forgiveness. And we have eternal forgiveness. Just knowing that God has blotted out all of our sins Brothers and sisters, that's the choicest part of that honeycomb. I'd like you to take that verse home with you today and chew on it this upcoming week. And then see what it does to your spiritual strength. Romans 8:1. Take it home. Chew on it all week. Another line the saint has put to death is conquered desires. Whenever your heart desires to do something that's contrary to God's will and you refuse it, what you've done is you use the sword of the Spirit to sink it deep into the beast's dark heart and slay it. And the more of these lines of desire that you kill, that you put to death, I got to tell you, the sweeter the honey tastes. The more strength you'll get from that honey, and the more lions you'll be able to kill. Our time precludes me from talking about all the other lions that roar against Christians today, but we all know that life is full of them. So don't be afraid, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter how fierce the lion is. It doesn't matter how large the battle is. It doesn't matter. Just like David, who killed the lion and the bear and the giant Philistine, the Spirit of the Lord will give you the victory over every lion in this life that roars against you. And one last thing I'd like you to know about Samson is at the end of verse 6. God says, he had nothing in his hand. The important thing to remember about that is that God wants you to face every lion in your life barehanded. The very moment you face the roaring lion in your life and you decide to depend upon your own skills or your own life experiences or your own resources, the very moment you do that, you're powerless. You disconnect the cord. Listen, if God had not empowered Samson with his spirit, what chance do you think that man would have had against the 500-pound enraged lion? Or a better question would be, what chance do you have when you face the lions in your life barehanded by yourself? Everyone here knows the answer to that question because everyone here has tried to face down hungry lions in life. The enemies you face every day, beloved, are far more powerful than you are. How do we know that? The weak church. If Christians understood that they have the power of Christ within them to deal with anything, we wouldn't have such a weak church today. Every time you turned on television, people would be getting saved. There'd be revivals, just like there were 100 years ago, where thousands of people came to know Christ as Savior. And one last thing. The reason God gave you His Son and His Spirit and His Word and His promises is because He knew that you would have to fight in this world. But the fight really isn't yours, you see. The battle belongs to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 32:8 promises us, with Him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the psalmist tells us in Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. And the reason why every one of the battles you fight in this world belong to the Lord is because all the lines in your life have a direct connection to sin. And sin is the enemy of man, and it's the enemy of God. So every time you have to face a roaring lion, you're not just facing your enemy, you're facing God's enemy. And because you are His adopted child, Your battle is his battle. Fortunately for us, James 4:7 tells us what the key to victory over all the hungry lions that prowl around in our life. Tells us what the key is. James 4:7. Mark it down. Read it. Memorize it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Beloved, if you turn this key in your life, and then like Samson, every lion you walk into, every battle that you fight, there'll be no cage around the Lion of Judah, and he'll come out and he'll fight for you. And later, the honey that you gather from that carcass, not only will you eat from it yourself, but you'll be so overjoyed that you'll have to take that honey out into the world and say, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what happens when we apply everything we read here, and we walk out that door and take it home with us. Dare to believe. May God give all of us the grace to submit every battle and every lion we face. May he give us the grace to submit to him and to stand there with faith, daring to believe with empty hands. And I'll close by telling those of you who can't claim the keys of James 4:7, because you may not have already submitted yourself to God through Jesus Christ, I have some bad news for you. The same lions that hunt down Christians are hunting you as well. Without Christ, you must face every lion that comes into your life alone and barehanded. And I would just ask you a simple question. How are you doing with that? If you're tired of being spiritual prey for every lion that comes around, then turn to Jesus and let him give you his strength. Let him give you the spiritual strength of Samson. If you feel God pricking your heart, if you're under the spirit of conviction, see me after the service or call me, and I'll show you in God's word how he's calling you, how he wants to adopt you, and how he wants to implant the Lion of Judah in your heart as well. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we do have your spirit. We have the Lion of Judah to battle our fights. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you for all things. And Lord, I pray you would teach us to be a believing people, that we would dare to believe every word, every promise, and that we would face every lion by your power and not our own. Help us to do that, Father, for we'd ask it in Christ's name. Amen.